Welcome to Shugyokai, where a single waka poem about sweeping wind can branch into classical grammar, Shinto purification ritual, and holographic boundary theory before you finished your tea.
Latex Space Coyote brings us a close reading of Ueshiba Morihei's poem 157, working through its translation, poetic mechanics, and what the whole sequence means for practice. Let's start with the poem itself and what it asks of anyone who steps on the mat.
The post centers on a single waka by Ueshiba Morihei, and the question it opens is deceptively simple. What is actually happening, verb by verb, in this poem, and why does the order matter?
The translation given reads, "Beckon and draw near. Summon wind to rise and sweep. Sweep all away now. Knead, temper, and remake on. In Kami's Aiki."
So the poem is a sequence of operations, not a description. Beckon, raise, sweep, knead, remake. And only at the very end does it name the ground those actions happen in. The structure itself is the argument.
That delayed grounding is deliberate. The post notes that ending on the particle ni, a locative and instrumental case marker, is a classical waka technique. Rather than closing the poem with a firm predicate, it suspends everything inside the divine aiki, leaving the action open rather than concluded.
And the word aiki here is doing double work. Ueshiba writes it as aiki, love ki, rather than the more familiar aiki, harmonizing ki. One character changes the whole destination of the technique.
The post is careful about each compound. Nagiharai, the sweeping away, carries both a martial sense, a mowing cut, and a ritual one, harai, the Shinto purificatory sweeping that removes kegare, pollution. The post calls this a mild kakekotoba, a pivot word resonance, where one written form points at two meanings simultaneously.
Which means the poem isn't describing a fight and then a purification rite in sequence. It's saying they're the same motion. That's a significant claim about what training is for.
The post maps the poem onto Ueshiba's six primers: cosmic principle, aiki with others, heart-mind inseparable, harmonious beautification, body as dojo, and deepest love as source, and shows how each phrase of the poem activates one of those principles in order.
The grammar carries the weight, too. Nearly every verb appears in the renyoke, the continuative form, which in classical Japanese strings actions together without explicit conjunctions or tense. The post calls this a running score, not a description.
And the post extends that into speech act theory. On the illocutionary level, chanting the poem is itself the act, command, prayer, and purification formula at once. The utterance doesn't describe the technique, it performs it.
There's also a note at the end comparing the Aiki sequence to Maxwell's Demon, a watcher at a threshold, sorting turbid vectors from clear ones, not to exclude, but to rectify and redistribute, sweeping wind as information sorting. That's either the most elegant footnote in martial arts scholarship or a very good reason to reread thermodynamics.
The post frames it as a metaphor for field-wide perception in practice, seeing disorder across the whole space, sweeping it with breath, and remaking the relational structure, not just with one partner, but with the entire field at once.
From a single five-line poem. That's where the grammar leads when you follow it all the way down.
And the post situates poem 157 in a sequence. Poems 154 through 156 establish tempering, misogi, and a view of victory as life-giving, so that 157 arrives as the operational summary. Call, raise, sweep, knead, return to aiki.
What stays with me is the inversion. You get the ground of the action only at the very end, after you've already been drawn through all the verbs.
Which is also how practice works. You move first, and the principle becomes legible in the doing. Next time, we'll see where the series goes from here.